There is nothing impossible, for Christ is with us, and the spirit of Tesla is with us. All we need is the will and courage to continue our resent efforts. God will provide the wisdom and point the way. You may use any material which I supply so long as it will be helpful in witnessing for the Christ, but I do not want any cheap publicity. As far as I can understand, the coming of the spaceships to Earth ties in with the spiritual revival which seems to be worldwide in action, and the tone of several messages I have received recently on the Tesla set points that way, too. On my summer trips I take the Tesla set right along with me in case the space people wish to send through any messages. We combine business and pleasure on our long trips, for I usually do some research. We travel slowly and stop along the way to serve and help, and to share our knowledge with others, for that is a practical way of applying divine law and is far better than preaching. We do all kinds of work on these trips. We sketch, write, paint, consult, draw, lecture, hold prayer meetings, and help wherever we can. Nothing is either too big or too small, from fixing a radio, knitting a sock, or building a transmission line. Of course, we have a wonderful time and there is nothing like having God on the tow. I just draw for pleasure. I'm no expert and never had a lesson. I sketch, paint with oil, water, and colored pencil, from life, just to rest on the trips. I have been on Earth a long time, so require some rest. I drive slowly and never over 300 miles a day, which is enough, considering that most of it is via Canada gravel. If I have any trouble I either fly or jump a train. Mr. Matthews sent along some snapshots of us in the early days of our correspondence, so we knew that his description of his farmstead was indeed inadequate. But we were in no sense prepared for our first actual glimpse of the magnificent land of mountains and forests and open skies which greeted us on our first visit to this Canadian home. It was autumn, and just at that moment of greatest loveliness when all nature seems to hold its breath and say, "No, no, we cannot let this rapture fade. Let us hold this jeweled, this lighted moment forever. Let us breathe this wine bright air. Let us send forth our vision into the limitless blueness of space. Let us dwell forever amid these jewel-tinted forests. Let us listen only to wisdom spoken unto us by the voice of solitude." Then suddenly we were standing on historic ground, the great, sloping meadow that sweeps down from a forested mountain, aflame with autumn colors. "Here," said Mr. Matthews, "is where the ships land. This meadow, protected by the mountains at the back and the rise of ground at the front, forms a comfortable hollow in which the spaceships can nestle like birds." He went on to explain that the first ship which came winging its way through the dark, moonless night, safe from prying eyes of the merely curious or the hostile, was a mother ship. "It was 700 feet in diameter," said Mr. Matthews, "300 feet high, with a center tube 50 feet in diameter. It held 24 small ships, each one from 75 to 100 feet in diameter. None of the ships had windows as we know them, but the crew could obtain a full view on all sides by a device which somewhat resembles television. The ship was of Venusian origin." Mr. Matthews emphasized the fact that all his contacts, both on the set and personally, had been with real, living, material persons, not spirits. He does not hold with mediumship or communication with the dead, for he believes that we can all be in contact with God, the only true spirit, through the living Christ. He believes that all of us can receive comfort and other help from the Christ, and that only those who study spaceship information in the Bible and seek wisdom from God can ever understand the things of space. Mr. Matthews has here touched upon a point which has proved to be an almost insurmountable handicap to many life streams who would otherwise go forward quickly into the light, and take their place beside the other disciples in active service. The barrier which individuals place before themselves, and which keeps them immersed in psychism, is a tendency based upon morbid sentimentalism and the wrong use of the memory function. During the past few years, Since the public has become aware of visitors from outer space, the Earth has been literally flooded with messages from so-called space people, most of which proved to be phony. Hundreds of mediums took advantage of the interest in space to pour out endless messages of meaningless drivel, purportedly coming from the space people themselves, or from disembodied relatives and friends of the eager listeners. These disembodied ones presumably knew all about spaceship activities, according to their story, which is ridiculous on the face of it. Disembodied entities until very recently were confined to the astral plane as long as they had a tendency to waste their time in gossip, which is the proper term for the type of communication in which they indulged. A genuine space person avoids the astral plane as we would avoid a plague. A genuine space person knows that he is making the sacrifice of coming to the Earth in order to abolish death on the planet. Certainly not to encourage it. Ordinary mediums who seek to contact the astral plane and the disembodied are not used as channels by the space people, no matter what the mediums may say to the contrary. This entire psychic situation was running riot in 1956, but it cleared noticeably in 1957. Mediums today are no longer receiving exciting messages from the astral plane because they can no longer contact disembodied persons. The vibrations which mediums contact today come from thought forms on the physical or astral plane, or from astral shells. The whole psychic lure is waning. This is because of the drastic action taken on the inner planes by the hierarchy in an effort to get the disembodied ready for reincarnation in the new age. In addition to the house cleaning by Lord Michael, the Aquarian Age fiat has gone forth, which requires that the disembodied study, render service, and spend a certain portion of their time each day in the temples of the Violet Fire, transmuting their karma and preparing for activity in the new civilization. The unwholesome habit of embodied individuals seeking contact with dead relatives or friends must be ended if people are ever to restore normal contact with their source. It must certainly be ended if death itself is to be abolished on this planet. Attempted communication with the dead is not only distracting to both the embodied and disembodied, but leads to a sense of smug satisfaction which prevents contact with the higher vibrations of the forces of light. There is nothing to be gained by seeking advice from a disembodied person, there is heaven to be gained by seeking advice from the Christ Self within each beating heart. Space people, or people from other planets and stars, are much more highly evolved than Earth people. Otherwise, they would not be allowed to come to this planet, because we have trouble enough of our own without importing more from the outside. Therefore, space people, with their higher vibratory rate, fall into the same evolutionary category as our own masters and adepts who are members of our own spiritual hierarchy. Tesla, being a Venusian, cannot be classed as a disembodied astral entity. He will not be found on the astral plane. If a medium makes a supposed contact with Tesla, the medium is only contacting a thought form hovering in the astral atmosphere, but not the real man. For psychics cannot reach vibrations beyond the astral plane. A person who is overshadowed by an adept, either from this Earth or from some other planet, is not in contact with the astral plane. Adepts do not work from that plane. It has come to the attention of this author that certain mediums, much given to lower psychism, have claimed contact with Tesla. This is not correct, and they have contacted only a thought form. Tesla can overshadow his disciples or can communicate telepathically if a definite purpose is being served for all humanity and for the Christ forces. Moreover, he works only with those persons who are already affiliated with hierarchical ashrams established by the forces of light. No adept who is genuine has any time to waste giving trivial messages to trivial people. It is a well-known fact that members of the hierarchy and also space people have spent considerable time contacting officials of all governments on the Earth, and also scientists and church leaders. They felt duty-bound to do this. But having performed that duty, and having met only with hostility, they are now limiting their contacts to those individuals who can assist in some manner in carrying out the divine plan. It has often been remarked in recent months that certain individuals who had excellent contacts with space people, now seemingly have lost contact. Exactly the same thing has happened with disciples who have, at certain times, been in touch with members of the hierarchy for the express purpose of serving as an outpost of consciousness for an ascended being. In a case where an ascended master withdraws from contact with a disciple, or a space person ceases contact, the human being is always at fault. In some manner, the energy expended by the adept has been misused by the one in human embodiment, and withdrawal is always the result. This is not a sign of disfavor. It is a sign that the adept knows that the burden of knowledge is more than the human can bear, and therefore the withdrawal is definitely a favor. Sometimes those who have lost contact with ascended masters or space people make the dreadful mistake of permitting pride to hold sway, and they pretend or fake contacts. This is a pathetic situation, and certainly calls for an application of the dictum that honesty is the best policy. No single individual has a monopoly on the divine plan, and the teachings of the ageless wisdom are available to all. This is an age of freedom, and it is useless to pretend that special knowledge is granted only to special individuals. All knowledge is available to all, but it must be used to uplift all humanity, not to build a personal ivory tower of pride and prejudice. The divine plan will emerge among the people. The ordinary man in the street, the housewife, the shop and office workers. It will most assuredly not emerge as a super-government, or as another church. It will not emerge among scientists who are slaves to the military, nor will it emerge among professors and teachers who are likewise enslaved by a barbaric educational system that is completely controlled by the forces of darkness. Therefore, the space people are only interested in contacting free souls, individuals who can speak, write and lecture without fear. Persons who understand that those who snicker and sneer, those who shout and threaten, are merely tools for the dark forces. Page 205. The dark forces have been practicing their subtle tyranny for millions of years, but they have been especially successful since newspapers became commonplace. Newspaper editors and reporters readily respond to the lowest of human vibrations, for their business is the reporting of crime, war, and trouble of any sort. Good news is no news to a reporter. Their gullibility is the same today in their attitude toward spaceships, as it was in 1873 when a Boston newspaper published the following piece under the sensational title, "Beware the Inventor." A man about 46 years of age, giving the name of Joshua Coppersmith, has been arrested in New York for attempting to extort funds from ignorant and superstitious people by exhibiting a device which he says will convey the human voice any distance over metallic wires, so that it will be heard by the listener at the other end. He calls the instrument a telephone, which is obviously intended to imitate the word telegraph, and win the confidence of those who know of the success of the latter instrument without understanding the principle on which it is based. Well-informed people know that it is impossible to transmit the human voice over wires as may be done with dots and dashes and signals of the Morse code, and that were it possible to do so, the thing would be of no practical value. The authorities who apprehended this criminal are to be congratulated, and it is to be hoped that his punishment will be prompt and fitting, that it may serve as an example to other conscienceless schemers who enrich themselves at the expense of their fellow creatures. It was thought at one time that Mr. Matthews might bring the Tesla set for interplanetary communication to New York and other cities and demonstrate it, but the space people informed him that such a demonstration would be useless at the present time. The doubters would still doubt, and even if they saw the machine and heard the messages, they would still insist it was a trick of some sort. Apparently, there has not been much progress in these parts since the days of Joshua Coppersmith. But there is another difficulty connected with bringing the Tesla set to New York. The set works on a very fine beam. Finer than a hair, according to Tesla. The spaceships, flying at altitudes up to 25,000 miles, have worked out calculations whereby they can beam their signals to the set, which is always in an exact location. The signal is not received if the set is moved even a few inches. Therefore, if the set is to operate in another city, it would be necessary to make prior arrangements with the space people, such as Mr. Matthews makes on his summer trips. Furthermore, The space people do not warn Mr. Matthews when they wish to send their signals. He has rigged up an alarm on the set which rings if the spaceship is ready to send a message. If he is somewhere near the set, he hears the alarm and answers. It can readily be seen that the operation of the set is entirely in the hands of the space people. They have requested Mr. Matthews not to give out information on the construction of the set at this time. The reason is that this type of willing service only encourages laziness among engineers and scientists who are quite capable of building a set if they would apply themselves, and as Mr. Matthews advocates, if they would attune their minds to God, as Tesla did. Mr. Matthews has explained one basic idea which is not clear in the minds of the average person today. He emphasizes the fact that every radio and television set is a Tesla set. Therefore, an individual cannot have a clear understanding of electronics unless he has a clear understanding of Tesla's basic principles. Mr. Matthews goes on to say that no one apart from Tesla has ever made anything new in the way of a radio or television set, except for changes in design. The circuits, coils, condensers, and all important parts are all part of Tesla's basic discovery. So regardless of brand names, every set must be a Tesla set. However, the set for interplanetary communication is different both in the manner in which it operates, and because it is especially designed to receive signals from space. It is impossible to send ordinary radio waves through the upper layers above the Earth. All such signals will bounce back to Earth, as is well known to radio hams. Tesla knew this more than 50 years ago. He also knew that the space people would try to get in touch with us from their ships, so he devised this special machine which will receive their signals. Now, due to the fact that the design was given to me by Tesla in confidence and in trust, to be used for the convenience of the space people when they approached the Earth, I could not pass on this information to others without permission. The crew aboard the first spaceship that landed on my property told me not to give out the information yet, which means that it can be made available at some time. Meanwhile, the full directions for building the set can be found in the lectures which Tesla gave between the years of 1890 to 1896, and also in some other lectures which he gave in recent years. What the space people desire is that someone, in the United States, discover the secret contained in the lectures, build a set, and then give full credit to Tesla. The dull Russians are rapidly discovering the lost secrets of Tesla, as they have demonstrated by producing the powerless aircraft Tesla invented for the United States at the close of World War I. But the Russians are giving Tesla full credit for the design. I do not know what Russia intends to do with the craft. Of course, the ship can carry the extra weight of bombs, and so forth, because there is no limit to the ground power plant, so it can be powered far beyond the ordinary plane. Besides, the motor in the plane does not require any direct connection or fuel, so the craft is relieved of that weight. This machine was also reported in Tesla's old lectures, or at least the motor was described. The idea can also be adapted for both land and sea transportation. More than 20 years ago, I suggested that it be used to power our trains, and I wrote a paper for the magazine Railway Electrical Engineer, but nothing came of it. You see how small are the minds of the so-called experts. Here is all this information lying about, wide open to the public, and yet the bigwigs have to spend their time having fun with their space rockets. A number of these experts in both the United States and Canada have been trying to pump me for free information. They are too lazy and too dull to grasp Tesla's principles, so they want me to do all the brain work for them. But meanwhile, the Russians are doing their own brain work, giving all due credit to Tesla, and coming up with his discoveries applied to industry. The point is that Americans have never used the information that Tesla gave them so freely, and now they are trying to pump me for more. Probably with a view to robbing Tesla even further and making a few million for themselves. Nor does the pumping stop here. I have received letters from all over the world, but they just do not have the right kind of bait to catch this fish. Money does not interest me, as it did not interest Tesla. Tesla was my lifelong friend and teacher. All I know concerning electrical engineering came from this wonderful man. He has always had first place in my thoughts, second only to God, and because of my faith in him all of my information concerning his discoveries and inventions is first hand. Many of his inventions, to my knowledge, have never been made public, and much of the confidential data which he gave me is not otherwise available. But until and unless these great experts who are riding herd over us today use the information which Tesla has made public, and give him full credit for it, it is useless to give them more. For instance, some American bigwig who reads some excerpts from your book, Return of the Dove, wrote me a couple of letters. He seemed to be afraid that you, Mrs. Storm, would not do Tesla full and proper justice. On the other hand, he was looking for all the free information he thought he could pry out of me. You had not given him my address, so he had gone to the trouble to work through a stooge in Glens Falls, and to try to get a line on me through my friends in New York. Finally, he traced me by way of my letters going into the United States to you. He said he had heard of my father, and that Tesla had recorded mention of him. But there is a great deal these people do not know. For why should Tesla have confided in people who went out of their way to rob and cheat him? Not one of his so-called friends went out of their way to help him, when help was most needed. But now, oh! Now, since these very, very great friends of Tesla have heard of your wonderful work, and of Return of the Dove, they are trying to get into the limelight and pretend that they have been there all the time. But be of good courage as I know you will, and write as you think best, without regard for the opinions of anyone. Dear Margaret, let not your heart be troubled by these people. That was Christ's command. See that your heart be not troubled. All the troubles on earth can be cured in only one way, and that way is to obey God. So let us teach the truth to all mankind. That is our only aim. So be of good courage, teach the truth, and your faith will carry you on. We both know that the greatest force which can defend us against evil is still God. People have not been slow to write me about your work, and there is no question but that your forthcoming book has caused some of them to finally wake up. As this American bigwig wrote, the circle of friends of Tesla in the United States have worked devotedly toward the recognition of his accomplishments, etc., etc. Well, if they are so devoted, then why have they been asleep for so long? Or is there something else behind their reaction to your work? It would appear that Return of the Dove is a thorn in their tender sides. They don't like it, because all scum fear the light. As recently as last night, one of our top scientists spent several hours with me. He did his best to obtain information on how true radar works, as conceived by Tesla in 1890. Well, I told him that it works without the use of reflectors, poles, towers, and so forth, and that it contained the germ of the idea that can explode all the atomic bombs on Earth before they can even leave their home. But what these small-minded experts cannot realize is that Tesla designed radar as part of the anti-war machine. What the Americans are trying to do is to copy the Tesla system, of course, with no credit to him, but to use only the radar part for a defense against attack. If they used the entire anti-war machine, attack would be impossible and world disarmament would become an immediate and permanent fact. This was known in 1935 when Tesla offered the anti-war machine to various governments. The heads of the Allied governments then in power knew these facts and understood them. There was no excuse whatever for the Second World War. There is still no excuse for what is going on today. For these facts are still known among the great experts, but they are carefully concealed from the taxpayers. The little people who pay the bills for wars. A working model of the anti-war machine will cost about $2 million, and it will include genuine radar, not the stuff the experts are fooling around with. Look what a mess they have made of it. Trying to copy something from Tesla by stealing a part of his work, instead of adopting the anti-war machine outright. Millions are being spent on microwave towers for the so-called distant early warning, DEW, lines, when according to Tesla not one pole, reflector or tower is needed. This is all utter waste. Even before the line was completed, even while it was still being designed, it was known that it would not be effective. Now the daily newspapers are coming out with a hint of the truth in headlines. Radar defense is full of holes. The whole thing is just another busted bubble, with millions of dollars wasted. That is why I will follow Tesla's instructions to the end. We certainly do not want any of these fine experts messing around with the anti-war machine. I had several letters from Tesla during his last days, and as the information he sent me was confidential, I intend to keep it that way. From first-hand information, I know that Tesla did not leave any important notes for the authorities to find. Apart from his letters, Tesla had other ways of communicating with me. The clique of bigwigs in the United States does not like this. Neither do the authorities, as I have discovered. When will people wake up and find that they can have no secrets from God? Dear Lord, open thou our eyes that we may see the wonderful things in thy handiwork, in the Bible, in Tesla's work. That is what I tell the self-styled engineers and scientists who come from your country and mine, always in the hope of pumping me. I tell them all the same thing. Look with open eyes at Tesla's work. If you are a Christian in your inmost heart, if your intentions are good, you will find the answer, for it is very easy to see. But it is only by a close study of the Bible and by a sincere belief in God, that we can see clearly the truth in Tesla's work, and also in that of the Christ. I say to these engineers, study carefully Tesla's patents and lectures. Note the simple way in which he talks. Study carefully the words of Jesus. Note the simple way in which he talks. You engineers have failed to discover the secret of one important thing. And there are many others. You are looking for the narrow radio beam, less than 1 degree. Page 213. Only Tesla knew how to make it. It is clearly stated in his lectures, yet the engineers cannot find it. I could build Tesla's anti-war machine at any time, and could blow up all the atomic and H-bombs in the world. But of what use would that be? It would only destroy. It would not serve God. It would not help mankind. Peace can never come by man-made means of destruction imposed upon humanity. So why try? Why bother? Peace can come only from the hearts of the people when their hearts are untroubled. When they really want to obey God and carry out His commands. The anti-war machine can be installed only when the people want it, in their hearts. Another big waste today is in the television field. Not one of those tall TV towers is required. TV can be transmitted to any part of the world without any form of pole or tower, and this has been known since the turn of the century. The public assumes that all of this equipment is needed, but it is utter waste and is just used in order to provide bigger money profits. Any excuse is good enough, and the public is impressed when it sees all those big towers going up. It is the same with the World Wireless System for electrical distribution which Tesla invented. No poles, towers or wires are required. No expensive surveying. No useless manufacturing. The Tesla anti-war machine follows the same principle. It requires no poles, no lines, or large reflectors mounted on towers. Neither does it require any army to maintain it. It does provide positive protection for any coastline or national border. It is not, in any sense, a fence. The whole thing depends upon the peaks which are, of course, invisible to the human eye. All electric currents of whatever frequency, pass in the earth and can be made to peak or bounce up above the earth at regular measured distances. So far as the Sputniks and other orbiting devices are concerned, these could not be designed to drop destruction on us from above if the Tesla anti-war machine was functioning. In addition to the protecting wall of light, the machine can also be built with a ceiling. If Tesla's machine is adopted, there is nothing that can affect it. Nothing in the way of an A-bomb or H-bomb or any other bomb, even if it is transported on a missile, a rocket, or a Sputnik. In the first place. And this is the important point. Once Tesla's machine is set up, no form of bomb or high explosive can be made. In other words, if some nut tried to make a bomb and the Tesla's machine was functioning, the bomb would explode right there, whether underground or in the air or any place else, and the nut would be blown to bits along with it. So along with the adoption of the Tesla idea, no form of bomb or high explosive, such as an A-bomb or a H-bomb, would continue to exist. For instance, if the United States decided to adopt Tesla's idea, she would notify all other countries of the date on which the switch would be thrown, giving them time to dump all forms of high explosives. Then on a certain date she would throw the switch.